Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us this afternoon Mr. Jim Plava, who has a financial service. Our good friend John Leffler does his radio program on the Internet. They have over 30,000 people who listen every week, so they've really got something important to say. Thank you so very much for being with us this afternoon.
Well, thank you for inviting me back.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening. You know, we see, you know, the markets come back again. A lot of people who tell us we're on the verge of a great breakout, a great technological breakout. It's only a matter of time before we're beginning to see the good times rolling again. But is that really true?
You know, I would question some of these assumptions that are made on Wall Street, and I think one of the main reasons, Stan, is a good example. An article I was reading today was the number of bankruptcies that are occurring across the country, and this was an article about people in Georgia and around the country and the amount of foreclosures. And they were talking about, for example, 10 years ago or even two decades ago, there are certain loans banks just wouldn't make. They would require the buyers to have some money down. They would, you know, 10, 20%. Here recently, banks were loaning up to 100% of the value of a property. So this whole prosperity thing that we keep talking about, whether we're talking about the economy or we're talking about the market, is all based on the fact of leverage. And as you and I know, you can only borrow so much. And as this article that was featured in today's newspaper was talking about, this was an individual who was a nurse who bought a first-time home buyer, but they cut her hours at the hospital down from 5 days a week to 3 days a week. And the next thing she knew, she was falling behind her mortgage payments, and within 4 months, her property was foreclosed on. So, yes, she was a first-time home buyer, and maybe that created a market for a new home, but, you know, here she is 6 months into the house, and she's losing it. I don't consider that prosperity.
And, of course, the thing is, who loses it? I mean, is the bank, because they're going to end up with a house, but and maybe right now they can turn around and sell it for what they got, but don't you think that one of these days the prices are going to begin coming down? Don't you think we're really in a sort of a bubble situation?
We're in a bubble situation, but the one thing that I think, at least I have learned from bubbles in the past, and I'm thinking back of the technology bubble in the late 90s. I mean, if you looked at stock market prices in 97 and 98, they were goofy, but they continued on for another couple of years before they finally rolled over. And what buyers, homeowners are doing now, even though mortgage interest rates have gone up almost a full percentage point, they're going to adjustable rate mortgages. Mortgage brokers are saying that about two-thirds of the mortgages out there now are adjustable rate mortgages. You can get them at 2.5% to 3%. So, you know, this is allowing this bubble to continue. But I agree with you. I think we're close to this peaking at some point. I mean, eventually the banks have to start saying, look, we can't be taking all these foreclosures. Because maybe right now they foreclosed on this woman's house, as you said, they can turn around and sell it. But there's going to come a time where they may not be able to do that.
Well, you hold that thought right there for just a moment, and we're going to bring another station on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Now, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please hold your calls until the mid-hour, at least the half hour, because we want to talk to Jim Poplava and get his wisdom. He's a financial consultant. He manages other people's money, and he does a program every week on the Internet with 30,000 regular listeners, which is really quite an accomplishment. I think there are a lot of people out there who need somebody to help them through the difficult time, because you read one article that says things are great, and you read the next article that says that things are terrible, and a lot of people are just downright confused. Don't you feel that's the case, Mr. Poplava?
Well, I think I agree with you, Stan, because you have so much misinformation out there. For example, we get reports out from the government that job growth is accelerating, and yet we see that the announcement by Challenger and Gray that companies are announcing more layoffs are up. We hear reports from the government that inflation is low, but yet, you know, everywhere you go, whether you're seeing your dentist or you're going to the grocery store, pulling into a gas station, or sending your kids to school, I mean, prices are up. I don't think anybody, you know, they're confused. The government says no inflation, but they're experiencing real inflation on Main Street.
Well, I think it's that old adage, you're going to believe what the government tells you or your lying eyes. So I really believe you're absolutely right. And yet, of course, one of the things I was reading about just the other day in the Wall Street Journal was this problem with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who are the big mortgage home. They've got so many mortgages, you know, they're carrying. And then, of course, they're selling them into the market. And with the idea, of course, you know, you bundle them up, they're making lots of money. But there's some people who are saying that this might be a recipe for disaster, that if these major companies, you know, they've got maybe $1 trillion or more dollars in mortgages, if they start to go under, what would the implications be?
Well, you know, the government has been trying to distance itself from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In fact, the Fed has suggested this, and the Bush administration is working on it. But it's hard to believe, in the era where we bail out just about everybody that's big, that the government would actually back away from bailing out Fannie Mae. I mean, they're actually just too big. If we take a look at, what is it, they control almost 50-60% of the mortgage market. But if something like that happened, I would imagine the Fed would have to take them over, or the government would have to take them over.
Hold that thought for just a moment while our stations return to us. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest is Jim Poplava, and we were simply asking about what happens if Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac begin to have problems, and they hold about 50-60% of the mortgages in this country, and of course Jim's thought was they're just too big to fail. In other words, it doesn't matter how irresponsible they are, it doesn't matter that they've gone out a limb and sawed it off, the government is going to have to intervene, somebody's going to have to take them over. If they were to go down, it would just rock the very foundation of our monetary system. Would that be a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. And if we take a look at, it's not just that they're going on and taking on a lot of debt and they stand behind that debt, but in the credit markets, interest rates fluctuate. They go up, they go down, and what institutions like Fannie do is they try to go in and cover or protect themselves, and so they hedge, which means they go in, use derivatives. Well, there was a great article in Barron's about 3 or 4 weeks ago that said that, you know, it talked about how Fannie had lost money in the hedging market because they weren't fully hedged. They didn't cover their liabilities or their interest rate risk because they thought that they could make a lot of money. And unfortunately, they didn't. They lost money, and then, of course, the government found out that they didn't fully report all of the losses regarding their derivatives, and they're going to have to restate a few things. And the greatest risk to me, Stan, is not just the amount of leverage, but it is also the amount of speculation and leverage that comes through the derivatives market. You have hedge fund managers that are out there that are leveraged 20 to 1 on the money. I mean, they're going out and borrowing at 1%. They've been taking that money and going into junk bonds, emerging market debt, or any kind of speculative investment that pays them the difference between what they borrow and what they can get. The only trouble is when you're leveraged 20 to 1 a 5% movement downward in the assets you buy, your equity is wiped out. So we have this whole financial market that runs on credit, it runs on leverage, runs on margin, runs on derivatives, and I just can't help but believe that everybody is so smart out there that they can go on and take these kind of risks and not make a mistake.
And you mean you don't think the prosperity is going to go on forever? You think that somebody's going to make a mistake, and then the house of cards could come tumbling down?
I absolutely believe so. I just don't believe that you can build prosperity on speculation and going into debt. It's never been done before, and I don't know why we think we're smart enough that we can do it this time.
Well, then what is the average person going to be? Because we're not dealing with George Soros or Warren Buffett or, the average person, John Templeton. We're dealing with the average person with limited income. Most of our listeners are. But they're wondering what they can do to protect themselves in times like this. And, of course, one of them, I suppose, would be to get a professional money manager to help them. But if they're not in a position to do that, what should they be doing?
Well, the one thing that they can be doing is, as much as possible, try to avoid debt. Try to live a lifestyle, if you can afford to do so, that is not out of line, that does not force you to, go out and spend money and pay for things on credit cards. And if you have too much debt, then try to work with a credit counselor and trying to figure out how you can start paying some of it off. If you're in a house and you're having a tough time making ends meet, it may make sense to get out of that house. But I think the whole thing is trying to manage your debt and your lifestyle. You know, Stan, when I grew up, we came from a large family. My dad was a carpenter, and he supported the family. Mom stayed at home, and she raised the kids. But our house was a three-bedroom house. The living room was actually what it implied. People, that's where we had the television, and that's where the family gathered after dinner. We had a carport and a laundry room off to the side of the house. This was middle-class America. Well, the carport got replaced with two-car garages. In addition to the living room, we added family rooms, then we added studies, and then we added three-car garages, four-car garages. Then we added, bigger backyards, swimming pools. I mean, we kept expanding and expanding and expanding what it meant to be middle class. And it wasn't one TV. It was a big screen TV, several TVs, a home entertainment center. And, we just kept expanding this concept of what it meant to be middle class. And a lot of families have had to go into debt to live that lifestyle.
And, of course, eventually, when everybody's head over heels in debt and something comes along, some sort of a catastrophic event, why, of course, this whole situation could begin to implode. Well, what do you think about, say, investing in things like gold or silver or gold or silver stocks? Is this a good thing or is this a bad thing to do at this time?
Speaking of investing in gold and silver, we've had the money supply in this country increase by $400 billion since December. We've gone from $8.8 trillion to $9.2 trillion. And if you wonder why the prices of everything you need are going up, this is one of them. But if you're going to go into the gold and silver market, whether you're buying coins or bullion or you're buying gold stocks, you've got to do so with the idea that you understand why are you investing in gold. Well, you might say, everywhere I see inflation. I see the money supply going up, and I see turmoil. Sometimes in the markets, we certainly see turmoil geopolitically around the globe. And you're going to have to be an investor because gold, silver is volatile. It can go up 30-40% one month, and you can see it corrected in the following month. So if you're going to do so, you want to do that with in mind that you're becoming an investor. You're going to buy something, you're going to hold it for the long term, because I believe we are in an inflationary type cycle right now where commodity type investments in gold, silver, energy, food, water, base metals are going to do very well.
All right. Well, now, what about the silver? I mean, there's a lot of talk out there about silver. We've talked to Dave Morgan, and he suggests maybe there is a defect between or a difference between supply and demand. And one of these days, there's going to be a real squeeze. There's not going to be any silver markets to produce it. There's not going to be any excess at all. There's still going to be a demand. And he thinks, the price could go through the roof. Is that a valid thing? Is this something that would happen in 6 months? Or 6 years or 60 years?
I think it could happen in the next 12 to 18 months because we've had silver deficits now. I think this will be the 15th year. And Stan, you know, if you take the silver mining companies, whether it's Hecla or Pan American, you know, none of these guys are making money mining silver. In other words, if you take a look at the market price of silver today at $5.89, a silver miner cannot produce silver at that price and make a profit. So that tells us, number one, why would you want to go in the silver business? You're not seeing a lot of companies open up new silver mines because it's non-profitable to do so. In fact, most silver that is mined is a byproduct of mining something else, whether it's copper, lead, or zinc. And most of the copper companies will sell off the silver and use the silver profits or the income to get off silver to offset the cost of mining copper. But if we look at silver per se, it's not only consumed, but it's and we're finding increasingly more uses for silver. But silver, as you and I well know, has been used for money for thousands and thousands of years. You know, the princes and the kings and the emperors used gold. But silver was the common man's money.
All right, so you think that this then may potentially be a good investment. Now, we look at something like Hecla, and you know, it's gone from about 50 cents to, $5 or $6. I think it was even up to 8 at one time. And yet, of course, they're really not making any money. It's all speculation?
Yeah, it's all on speculation on the price of silver, because if silver goes up, as it did until recently when it went over $8, then obviously the ounces that the company owns in the ground are worth more. And so a lot of this is speculation at the point that at some not too distant time in the future, the price of silver is going to be higher, and these companies will at that time start making a profit.
Like as I can remember, I'm old enough to remember when Hecla was up around 50. You know, it's just this was in the 60s, and again in this about 1980. So it is sort of an up and down process, you know. And everybody gets feeling real good when the price goes up, and then they feel real bad when the price goes down. That old idea that the market's driven by greed and fear. Is that so you think that what you're talking about is maybe a buy and hold of whatever the silver mining stock would be?
I like the silver mining equities because there's so few of them. I could count probably on two hands the number of pure silver producers in the world. And the one thing that you have to understand, and as an investor, when you go into gold and silver, these markets are not free trading markets. In other words, we know that central banks intervene in the gold markets. They did so in the 60s. They did so, gold was controlled in the 30s, and governments don't like gold because it forces them to keep an honest budget. It forces them to back their currency and not depreciate it, as so many governments are wont to do today. And your greatest protection is owning gold and silver when your central banks and government are depreciating the currency, which is what we're seeing today.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few moments with Mr. Jim Plava, and then, of course, we'll take your calls after the half hour. But I did want to get his thoughts, and we'll want to get them up until the half hour, so please be patient. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And this is the time to make your get your positions, think about what's going to happen, and prepare for what I think, and I think Mr. Plava thinks, are going to be very difficult times in the not-too-distant future.
A
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. Through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to tell our listeners that we do carry Miracle 2 soap products, and, well, this is a long way from being a physician, but and we can't even make any medical claims at all as far as the Miracle 2 health products, but we can tell you that they're soap products, but we can tell you that an awful lot of the people who use them give us stories, wonderful stories, of how it's helped them in so many ways, and people say that the gel is great for rashes, and they say it's great for acne and neutralizing solution. Some people take it for their upper gastrointestinal tract and heartburn. Other people take it for their lower gastrointestinal tract. And all we can do is suggest that you try the products and see if you like them. I know I wouldn't be without my moisturizing soap, which I've used now for several years, or my gel, which I use and put on every day. In fact, I keep my hair down with it. But it has so many uses. My wife puts it on just about everything imaginable. And so if you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, Miracle 2. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Jim Poplavin. And so we've been talking about silver stocks, and he thinks that silver stocks and those silver stocks that are actually producing silver, and he says there's really not that many of them. And I suppose that people would have to do the research to have some idea what those stocks are.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be too hard because, as I mentioned, there's probably, you can count on two hands, the companies that actually are pure silver companies. And I can only think of one or two, actually one, which is located in Mexico, that's making money.
All right, fine. So basically then it's going to take a long time for the silver mines to open up if there is a shortage, and that's why I think we might really get a blow off on the price of silver sometime in the next 18 months?
That's what I mean. We've been running deficits for 15 years. The U.S. has consumed its above-ground stockpiles. I think at one time we had 2 billion ounces that we had stockpiled during the 1930s depression. And the silver warehouse, the COMEX warehouse, is probably a third of where it was, let's say, 5 or 6 years ago. Now, we know that Warren Buffett took a good deal of that. But you can't continue to mine a product at a loss. And the one thing that controls the price of silver are the short positions on the COMEX. And
but the risk, that only works as long as people don't take delivery.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it is. It's a paper game. It's a paper game that keeps the price of the metals down. Because, Stan, if I was to... let's talk about oil. If we had a product such as oil where there's growing demand for it because, you know, people are driving more cars, we're using more electricity in our technology society, if there was greater demand and the supply cannot be brought to the market, the price would go up. And that's exactly what we've seen with oil. Yet, if you take any other commodity that where there's greater demand than supply, soybeans, recently wheat, lead, copper, the price goes up. Well, the demand for silver and gold has gone up every single year. In other words, the mining companies cannot mine enough gold and silver to meet demand. It's supplied by scrap. It's supplied by central bank selling. It's supplied by this hoarding of silver stockpiles, and yet the price stays low and has been low for, you know, 12 to 14 years. Well, what has happened as a result of these distortions? You know, we have not seen new mines brought online. I mean, if you can't make a profit, why are you going to go out and spend the money and open up a new gold mine or go looking for gold and, for the same matter, silver? But all other commodities, and this is one of the reasons why we're starting to see commodity prices rise, is because it's not just the U.S. consumer. It is 1.3 billion people in China. It's another billion people in India. And it's another billion people located throughout all of Asia. And these people are industrializing. They're making more money, so they want better diets. The Chinese consumer in Shanghai has gone from, let's say, riding a bicycle to riding a motor scooter. Well, that's going to increase the demand for oil. And that is what we're facing in commodities right now, because it's not what we as Americans are consuming. It's we're now competing for those commodities with other consumers elsewhere around the world. And we just simply have stopped investing in mines. We've stopped investing in cocoa plantations. We really haven't explored for oil in the last 10 years the way we used to because the price wasn't there. And so now it's starting to catch up with us.
Well, of course, one of the things right now, everybody is a little horrified when they go to the gas pump and they see, you know, a premium up around $260, $270. But, of course, and that's just oil at $40 a barrel. We hear some people talking about oil at $50 a barrel. We even hear some people talking about oil at $100 a barrel. Is this realistic with China coming in and other countries coming in and demanding the supplies or requiring the supplies?
Oh, absolutely. If you look at, I think, $50 to $100 oil, we'll see that in this decade. And the supply balance is so fragile right now that all it would take is a disruption, sinking an oil tanker, attack on an oil terminal, or political conflict in Venezuela or Nigeria, and we could be up there very quickly.
Now, of course, then how would one profit on that? Would invest in the oil companies? You know, the average individual isn't sophisticated enough to be in the future market.
I would own good quality oil companies. If you're conservative, I would stick with the big ones, the Exxons, which Exxon being the largest company and probably one of the best-run oil companies in the world. The smaller companies, where that's where you're going to see the greater degree of growth, because they're the ones that can grow their production, where if you're somebody the size of Exxon or Royal Dutch...
Hold that thought right there. except genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I want to tell you that we carry the Big Berkey products. We carry the Big Berkey water filter. We carry the Berkey Life water filter. The Big Berkey is made out of stainless steel. It stands about 30 inches high. You put a couple of gallons of water in the top. It goes through the ceramic filters, comes out the bottom. The water tastes great. It's certainly you filter out the impurities and the bacteria. And this has been used by missionaries for 150 years, and it's proven to be very effective. The Big Berkey will filter about 24 gallons a day, and you're going to have a hard time drinking all that. You can see pictures of it at our website at www.radioliberty.com. The Big Berkey is $279 plus $10 shipping. It's available in every state of the Union but California and Iowa. Now, if you live here in California, of course, you can get something called the Berkey Light, and that's made of Lexan, so you can see the water level. The filters there work even better, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. However, the Berkey Light's only $199 plus $10 shipping, and they filter out everything. We call the filters not water filters, but water purifiers. They do a great job. That's the Berkey Light. Now, you can get it if you want to with for an extra $60 with lights on the bottom, LED lights that you can actually use with batteries, and you can get a power pack, and you can actually have all sorts of extra things along with that that make it work and make it work much more efficiently, or you can just plug it into the wall. But most people would like to have this on hand in case of an emergency, and they'd like to have the light on hand in case of an emergency, and of course you can get that extra. But the regular one costs $199. It's called a Berkey Light. Why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask about the Big Berkey or Berkey Light. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and let's go to our callers. Is this Jim from Santa Cruz?
This is Mike from Santa Cruz.
Okay, Mike from Santa Cruz. Good to have you. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. First, I want to tell him how much I appreciate his website, and I'm a big fan. I've been reading it for the last 2 years. I heard him on I think it was Gary Roberts is the guy's name on Lifeline. God kind of directed me to him, and it changed my life. I want to also say that I like Mike Hartman, and I like Mary. And my question is, I own a home in Santa Cruz. It's appraised at about five-something. It's a little tiny house. It'd be a condo anywhere else. I got $360,000 worth of loan on it. And I want to know what Jim would do if he had this house right now.
What would it sell for?
It would sell for $550 or so.
All right, fine.
And I got little less than $200 equity in it.
Well, let me ask you this: how is your employment situation?
I'm a glazer. I've been working as a glazer for 30 years, and I'm going to retire in 3 years with a pension that will equal my current pay, which is around $70,000 a year.
Okay. So, have you got your mortgage at a reasonable rate?
I have the best mortgage in the world. My mortgage broker, whose name is I can't even remember to give him a plug, but we got a 5% fixed 30.
Okay, and you are saving, you're putting money away, and
I've got silver bullion.
Good for
and
you.
And I'm a big fan of David Morgan, so I've got an equity loan of $60,000 line of equity, and I'm just the gambler in me wants to spend it all on silver, but I know I should keep it around for crisis, really.
Okay. Well, as long as you have plenty of savings, liquidity, you're living within your means and you're saving, you have an investment portfolio, and it sounds like your financial position is pretty secure. You're getting ready to retire and you're going to have a pension. I would keep the house. I mean, do you like living there?
Yeah, the thing, every time I present this to a real estate broker, they say, well, you know, houses in Santa Cruz, there's always going to be a market for them. And I figure because we're at the low end of the market, we're basically a starter house for $500,000 in Live Oak. And so I want to keep the house because I hate moving. And that's basically it. I just hear, you know, about the dramatic stories about what's going to happen when the bubble pops and how we're gonna lose a percentage of our equity. And
let me ask you this: what would happen if you lost your equity? Would that bother you?
No, not at all. Because the only thing that would bother me is if we went backwards and the banks came and knocked on the door.
Well, as long as you're making your payments and you have a good, secure source of income, and it sounds like you're living within your means, you like living there, I'd stay there and keep it.
Okay, good. That makes me feel better. I wanted to ask about the pension. Now, I have a pension that's called, that's where we go through our pension, we get vested, and it means that they send us pieces of paper that say, this is what you will make, and they seem to think that it's dyed in wool and it's guaranteed. Now, they're subject to the same problems everybody else is. If they're invested in bonds and the bonds just go completely south and our fund drops dramatically, am I at risk with that money?
Well, obviously, if the markets were to collapse and they made poor investments, let's say they bought junk bonds that collapsed, you know, something like that could happen. But this is why I think it's very important. You say you have silver investments, you have other outside means, and as long as you have a portfolio that's protected, you can counteract that.
Yeah.
Okay, diversified. I think that would that be a good statement, Jim?
Sure would.
Okay, thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
So it's Mike, right?
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY from out across America. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question for our special guest this afternoon, Jim Poplava. Well, Jim, you know, as we look and see what's happening, and of course, oil certainly is going to go up. My concern is we probably will have an inflationary spiral here before they finally are going to have to get those interest rates up high enough really to slow this thing down, as we saw back in the 1980s. Do you anticipate that we'll have a really inflation that they're going to have to really raise those interest rates quite high, and which will really cut back on industry and borrowing and all of that?
I think we're going to go through a period of stagflation, and I also think the Fed will start monetizing debt to keep rates down and keep the government funded. If you look at the money supply figures right now, I mean, we're growing our money supply at an annual rate of 22% or $2 trillion a year. So the Fed is obviously liquefying the market right now.
But do you think a lot of that, of course, is just to make sure that the current administration stays in? They can't do this indefinitely, can they?
Well, at some point, you know, the bond market wakes up and they say, no more. You know, we're going to demand higher interest rates. And actually, if you take a look at what's happened to the rate of interest on a 10-year Treasury note, we went from about 3.6% in March, and then we got up to as high as 4.9%. So the bond market is unwinding, and that's part of that's the carry trade that I was referring to earlier. But, you know, to some extent, Stan, the bond market has been pacified over the last couple of years by this carry trade idea. In other words, if you can borrow at 1% and invest it somewhere else, who cares about inflation? You're making a ton of money.
But what happens, of course, if we do get into inflation? I mean, can you get hurt by doing something like that, borrowing at 1%, borrowing a low and then lending high?
Oh, sure. I mean, if you were leveraged 20-1 like the average hedge fund manager, and which means out of each dollar of investment, you only have 5 cents of equity. If that dollar investment drops 5%, you're in big trouble. And it's one of the reasons why you've seen, for example, emerging market debt drop 20% last month. why you've seen junk bonds go down in value and why you've seen treasuries. That's the unwinding of this carry trade. These guys are trying to get rid of their debt positions because the Fed has signaled it's going to be raising interest rates, although I don't think they're going to raise interest rates as much as the market in Wall Street thinks because the economy's too leveraged.
All right, and of course, if they were to do that, it would really precipitate a real economic squeeze then.
Yeah, they're not going to do what they did in 1994, where they really ratcheted up interest rates. And you remember we had the peso crisis and derivatives in Orange County. I mean, we have almost 10 times the amount of derivatives today, and we have almost 3 to 4 times the amount of leverage. There's no way the markets could withstand a serious Fed tightening as they did through 1994. The days of serious rate tightening cycles for the Fed, in my mind, are over because the economy and the financial markets have just become too geared with debt to withstand a heavy onslaught of interest rate hikes.
All right. Well, somebody's calling in, wants to know how safe money is. And I assume that they're concerned about whether or not the value of the money will be destroyed by inflation.
Well, it's being destroyed right now. I mean, just take a look at everything that you have to buy to live. You know, you see your dentist, it cost you more this year than probably did last year. You see your doctor, it cost you more. Your health care premiums have gone up. Your grocery bill's gone up. Your utility, your water bill, your phone bill, your property taxes, you know, gas at the store, and even some of the stores, even when it comes to clothing and some of the things that, you know, to some extent are discretionary items, even that's going up. Go to a restaurant and take a look. I eat lunch at Subway, and they just made their salads smaller.
They didn't raise the price. They just gave you less, huh?
Yeah, they just gave me less. I mean, it doesn't even fill the whole bowl anymore.
All right. Well, a caller asks, how safe is the money in the bank, and what happens if the bank defaults? That was the question that was called in.
I would say if we got into serious crisis, in a real serious crisis, we could have another bank holiday if it got to be serious enough. And that's why you should always keep some kind of spare cash outside at home. You might want to have silver coins. I like silver coins versus gold coins because you're not going to walk into your local Safeway store and give them a gold eagle and say, here, what can I get with that? But for the most part, unless we get a serious unwinding, I think the greatest risk to your bank account is it is eroded in terms of its purchasing power. You know, when I was counseling retired individuals, and Stan, most of the people that, when I started my practice in the early 80s, you know, they retired, they had a pension from the company or the government, and they had maybe Social Security, and then they had investment portfolios. You know, maybe they had 100,000, 200,000, or 50. Well, goodness, back in the 80s, when you were getting 10, 12% on your money, I mean, that was what really kind of put the icing on the cake in retirement. It was the interest earned from those investments that paid for, you know, a trip to Europe or, you know, trips to go see the grandkids and things like that. But, you know, that started to erode in the 90s when we no longer had double-digit interest rates. We had mid-single-digit interest rates. And then look at what you're getting on the bank today. So the real danger to this person's question, to their money, is the erosion of its purchasing power.
And so you wouldn't be so worried about the bank default as the fact that the dollar could lose its value so rapidly that, you know, the interest you were getting out of the bank or CDs would not offset what you were losing. And besides that, you have to pay interest, you have to pay income tax on whatever you get from the CD.
Sure. It's happening to this day. I believe the true rate of inflation is somewhere between 6 to 8 and probably closer to 8%.
All right, so you're suggesting then that the government figures are not accurate?
I think they're all jerry-rigged.
All right, fine. I think they are, too. I say that with tongue-in-cheek. Well, Jim, let's get out your website. Let's get out your telephone number in case anybody would like to get a consultant with you, because you are, of course, a consultant, and I know you do invest other people's money, and I understand from my friends who have invested with you that you've done quite well for them.
Well, the website is www.financialsense.com. Financial Sense is one word, and our toll-free number is 888-486-3939.
That's financialsense.com, and it's 888-486-3939, right?
That's correct.
All right, fine. And first, these are the times when, people really can lose everything. When you get into a situation where the currency is not stable, where it has no backing, and there's no incidents in all recorded history where a nation has gone into a fiat money system where that nation has survived. Well, don't you think that the people who are running things behind the scenes, the central bankers, the people who are really sort of pulling the strings, would like to take us into a cashless society, feeling that they can manipulate or control that?
Well, I think they would love to have eventually some kind of world central bank where you have these currencies that are controlled by a larger central bank, but they're alchemists in the sense that they believe they can take fiat currency and create prosperity with it. And the arrogance of thinking that they can be smarter than any other government that preceded them and make this thing work. Well, take a look around you. I mean, when I grew up, only one of the parents had to work. My father worked. My mother stayed at home. In the 70s, in order to keep up with taxes and inflation, the wife went to work. And then in the 90s, in order to keep our lifestyles, not only did the husband and wife both have to work, but we went into debt to maintain that lifestyle. So how they consider this to be successful is beyond me.
All right, well, they've got Jeff calling from Austin. Is that Austin, Texas?
Yes, Dr. Stan, God bless you and everything you're doing. I had a question for the host. Sir, could you give us a financial chain of events in the event of a terrorist attack? What would happen in the banks and in the market over, say, a week after a terrorist attack?
If it was anything like 9/11, I think, depending on what they hit, you would see the markets swoon and collapse, but I think the Fed at that point may just flood the markets with liquidity, so we would have a sharp sell-off because fear would set in. And then I think you would have the Fed coming to the market and just issuing and providing enough liquidity. They would have to almost provide a mountain of cash. And I just think that you're going to see signs of inflation pick up afterwards. But I think they would intervene in the market and flood the market with liquidity. It just depends on how bad or how serious of an attack it was.
How fast would it affect real estate?
Real estate, I think, would roll over slower. You'd probably see it within a 2 to 3 month period of time. You know, I was looking around here locally at different housing projects, and we were looking at this one project. And after the events of 9/11, I can remember walking into the sales office and talking to the salespeople, and they hadn't, I mean, the traffic just went dead for about a period of 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that you would see because people would want to, you know, adjust and see what happens, you know, if things were followed up afterwards.
Do you know anything about the Amero dollar and its implications for a crash?
The Euro dollar, you mean?
Oh, the Amero dollar.
No.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay, thanks very much, and thanks for calling, Jeff.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Jeff calling. And, Roger, I'm going to ask you to hang on, and we'll let you on in the last segment, which I already do a monologue on, but Roger is calling from Allentown with some frequencies, and we want to get those out for the various radio. These are the shortwave frequencies. Well, Jim, we're just about out of time. What message would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Get out of debt. Live simply, and avoid debt as much as possible.
And, of course, how much of your money would you have in gold and silver and gold and silver stocks? How much would you have invested in regular solid stocks like the oil stocks you mentioned? Or, how should people, let's imagine somebody my age, over 70 years of age, how should he be invested for times like this?
Well, for somebody that is very conservative, you might want to have 30 to 40% in short-term foreign government bonds, and if you can't buy them directly, do so through a no-load mutual fund. I would have money in at least 10% in oil and natural gas. I would be 10% in food. I'd also have 15 to 20% in gold and silver.
All right, fine. Well, I really appreciate so much your being with us. It's been a real exciting time, and I hope we can get you back on one of our other programs in the not-too-distant future.
Well, thanks for having me, Stan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our guest has been Mr. Jim Poplava. I'm going to ask Roger to sort of hang on here. We'll be here to him in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I have to tell you about a couple of the other things we carry. One of them is the Phonopoly, and Phonopoly is a program. It's a board game played very much like Monopoly that is designed to teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and pronounce words and how to spell words phonetically, because that's the key to learning how to read. Now, most programs like this cost $300, $400, $500, $600. This one's $139.95. You will learn the 40 sounds of the English language. You'll learn the 12 basic rules. You'll understand why words are actually spelled the way that they are, because there are rules for spelling for the whole of the English language is really very logical. The only trouble is they don't teach it in our schools. Phonopoly is an exciting game to play, and I think you'll benefit from it as well as your children. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And then we want to mention a new video we have. It's called Iraq, the Road to World Government. And really what we're seeing now is the war over there. And, of course, we have to then go to the United Nations to solve the problem. And of course, we're setting up a puppet regime. But we're not going to pull our troops out of there. Our troops are going to stay on. It's sort of like Bill Clinton, who promised, well, our boys will be home from Kosovo by November. Remember that? They'll be home from Kosovo. It was Bosnia by November. And, of course, he just didn't tell us which November. They're still there. But this is how governments work. But behind everything going on today is this push for world government. So you really want to get our new video. It's Iraq, the Road to World Government. And, of course, our video, Iraq, the Untold Story, which you can get with a video that will really give you the documentation for the fact that all of these wars have been contrived. And, of course, the people who fight them never really understand. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we've got Roger on the line. Roger, do you want to get out the shortwave frequencies where people can hear my program and Butch's program and the other programs? Because our shortwave are not up and running. We want you to let people know. They change our frequencies without letting anyone know. So go ahead, Roger.
Yes, thanks, Stan. I think you're a little derelict of self-promotion. Now, for the folks that were having to go over to the live streams, they may not know that this past 2 hours have been on 13.770 megahertz. And then in 2 hours from now, 3 hours from now, that is, your last 2 hours of the evening should hopefully be straightened out, and this time be on 7.535 megahertz. Also, they can pick up Southwest immediately, that is Southwest Radio Church, after this show, at the same last frequency I gave, and Pastor Butch Paw has an alternate frequency there as well.
I'm sorry, are they going to be at 7.535, or they're going to be at 13.77?
Yes. No, all three of those. Your last 2 hours and those other two shows.
All right, I will have to let our listeners know that they're going to change this, a different frequency on Wednesday for the first 2 hours and the last 2 hours, and we'll be at 7.535, and we do hope that you'll tell people who listen to our shortwave program so they know how to tune in, and we'll have this posted up on our website as soon as it's straightened out. Roger, God bless you. Thank you so much. How is it coming in, incidentally?
Weak, but passable.
All right, fine. Well, I hope that the new one we're getting will be even better for this 2 hours. Thanks so much.
God bless.
Bye-bye. Okay, well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. We're depending upon those of you who listen to our programs and really care about America and want to preserve this wonderful land that we inherited from generations past. We hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. It's as simple as picking up your telephone and calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you'll want to get a copy of our newsletter or maybe subscribe to it, and we'll be glad to send you one free copy. Of course, you can go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com, and pull down our programs there 5 hours a day on the Internet. And, of course, you can pull down our newsletters, and the newsletters have a great deal of information and documentation. And then the various products that we carry, we don't carry that much, but the products we carry are ones that we think are valuable and that will help you. So look at all of those, and anything you'd like to get, you know our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to understand the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. And there really are secret societies. As much as Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw would laugh at the idea and ridicule anybody who talked about secret societies, there have always been secret societies. And we've got one in America that has over 2 million members. These people swear that if they ever reveal any of the secrets, their tongue will be cut out, they'll be buried in the sands of the sea, up to the level of their neck at low tide, and then they'll have their heart slit open, and their heart pulled out, and their belly slit open, and their entrails taken out and burned and fed to the beasts. Why would any logical person do something like that? Well, because they've sworn an oath they don't understand. They've sworn an oath to look for the light, but their light they're looking for is not the light of Jesus Christ. Because this is a different God, and until people understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and we've got to reach people, not only in this one, but in all the other secret societies or associated secret societies or covert operations, all working towards a common goal, a new world order, a new world religion. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And then may the Lord be with you.